think of your own name first name. Do you know the meaning of your name? Many of us do, and some of us have no clue. And here's a couple of examples. Christopher. The meaning of Christopher is Christ bearer, the one who bears and carries Christ. Another English name, Zoe, that's for women. That means life. As I said, most of us know the meaning of our name. I thought about the meaning of my own name. It's hard to spell it. K-Y-E-W-O-O-N. But it has two Chinese characters. K-Y has one character, and W-O-O-N also has another character. So they put these two characters together to create one first name. The first K-Y in Chinese character means laurel tree, laurel tree. The second one, W-O-O-N, once again in Chinese character means the cloud. So when my folks gave me that name when I was born, they must have thought of laurel tree in the cloud, or laurel tree covered with a cloud, however you interpret it. They wanted me to be a noble man or exalted one, respected by many. It depends on how you interpret it. I hope I did not disappoint them by giving that name to me. Now, in the Hebrew culture, naming was also very important. For example, when God gave someone a new name, He expected the person to live a life worthy of the name. Here's an example. We all know Abraham. Before he was called by God, his name was Abram, A-B-R-A-M. Abram, we call, but Ab means father in Hebrew. R-A-M means exalted. Abram means exalted father. Now the problem is that he was not a father. He didn't have any sons or daughters. And he was 75 years old. So God called him out at the age of 75 and says, Abram, I'm going to start a new nation with you, and I'm going to give you a new name. So God gave Abram a new name, which was A-B-R-A-H-A-M, Abraham, we call Abram, right? So what's the Abraham means? Ab, once again, is father, but Raham, R-A-H-A-M, means multitude. So speaking to this childless man, God says, from now on, you're going to be called father of multitude. But Abraham didn't have any son yet, or daughter. And God took Abraham to outside, and at night, Abraham, look at the sky. Do you see so many stars up there? And Abraham said, yes, Lord. And God says, your children will be like that many. You are Abraham, Abraham, father of multitude. Now, in today's text, we also see two names given to Christ by God. I want you to look at the bulletin now, and if you have pen or pencil, if you go to verse 21, this is angel talk to Joseph and talking about the Mary, and the mother will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Circle the name Jesus. And verse 23, you see, this is actual direct quote from the book of Isaiah chapter 7. The virgin shall be the child, bear the child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Once again, circled Emmanuel. We're going to talk about those two names this morning. Now, as soon as the baby was born, people called him Jesus. Jesus is the Greek word. Counterpart of Hebrew word is Joshua. Well, we all have English name, but they all originated from either Greek or Hebrew. Joshua means the Lord, Jehovah, saves. That's what it means. Now, the other name given to baby was Emmanuel, as you circled in verse 23. That has three Hebrew words. Im means with. Anu means us. And El means God. So with us God. Now, to consider the meanings of those two names. The name Jesus is very appropriate for our Lord Jesus because it exactly reflects his mission on earth. He was born to save people from their sins. In fact, Jesus lived his life exactly as God wanted him to, and through his death on the cross, he saved humanity from sin once and for all. What about Emmanuel? Out of so many other names, why do you think God has given the baby Jesus Emmanuel? Of course, easiest answer would be also that the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7:14 would be fulfilled. A virgin will conceive a baby and the baby will be called Emmanuel. Yet I believe there is much more than that. Another reason could be why Jesus, God called Jesus Emmanuel, could be the name Emmanuel best sums up who really Christ really is to us. Everything Christ does and is for us is packed in one word, Emmanuel. And let me explain why I believe so. I have studied and researched in the scripture for the phrase God with us or with us God and discovered the following three, at least three meanings behind the phrase Emmanuel, with us God. The first one is companionship and second is care and third is commitment. Three C's, companionship, care and commitment. Let's talk about companionship. Emmanuel means companionship. Emmanuel means God pitches his tent amongst us. You remember this Exodus event? Moses led the people of Israel from the land of slavery, Egypt, into the wilderness before they entered the promised land, and they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. We all know the story. And during the time, God dwelt among the people of Israel. Whenever God was on the move, he was always on the lead, and so were they. Whenever God stopped, they stopped too. Wherever God's tent was pitched, so were their tents. Now, in the scripture, God's tent was called the tabernacle. That's a big fancy name for tent or dwelling place. God actually not physically dwelling in this tent tabernacle, but he was claimed that he was in the tent, spiritually. So whenever the Israelites folded their tents and moved on the move, so moved the tabernacle. God was with them 24/7. And later, that tabernacle, tent, was replaced by the temple of God, solid building, in Jerusalem by King Solomon. And that temple of God now, in the 21st century, is us. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Did you know that? You are temple of God. God dwells in you. Now, as God dwells within us, he journeys with us. Wherever we go, so does he. He keeps us company. The divine companionship makes our journey light too. I used to, when I was in Red Bank area, I used to, you know, participate in their annual crop walk. How many of you heard of the crop walk? Some of you walked in the crop walk. I think it is known as, at least in New Jersey, largest crop walk event in New Jersey, Red Bank one. So I used to walk on there about four and a half miles or something. And sometimes I walked all by myself. Nobody joined. And other times, surrounded by a bunch of people from the church and so forth. Now, one thing I noticed, between walking alone and walking with someone else, there's a huge difference. What is that? Seems like, you know, the same distance we walk, but seems like this distance is much shorter. Time flies and we have such a great time talking and listening and laughing together, walking together versus walking all by myself. So when divine companionship is with us, it makes our journey to heaven light. Why? Because God knows what we are up to or up against. Remember, God says, "Don't worry, my child, I count. I know how many strands of your hair on your head." Wow, really? God is there whenever we need Him. He is there when we are happy or when we are hurt. He sees our tears and He hears our groans. He comforts us and He shares our joys and concerns. And He gives His ears to our stories, even to our complaints. You know, today we are living in a society where technology just advances so fast. Let's take an example of Facebook. You could have 500 friends. Oh yeah. But this is true. They did a survey. No matter how many friends you have, people in America still feel lonely. Wait a minute. Don't you have 500 friends on Facebook? But they do not have one single friend who would give their ears to their stories. We are living in the age of loneliness, folks. That's where the prayer comes in. Isn't it wonderful? What is prayer? It's not using the fancy words and impress God with raising both hands like, no. Prayer is like a spend time together with God all by yourself. The beauty of prayer is this. God says, "My child, I'm here for you. You have captive audience, me. Speak to me. Anything you have, anything bothers you, anything in your mind, speak to me." You know, God says, "I have all the time in the world." That's what prayer is all about. Anyway, going back to what I was saying, God is with us and He rejoices with us and He celebrates with us. He cries with us. He suffers with us. He endures with us. He encourages us to go on when we are in despair. And even in times of doubt, God assures us that He is in control and He knows everything in our lives. Emmanuel means companionship. Second thing is that Emmanuel means God cares. He cares for us. If you hear any voice or someone says, "Who cares? Nobody cares." You say, "Nope. I have one who cares for me. It is God." You can say that. It's God's promise. He provides us and He protects us and He provides us with our daily bread and He protects us from harm. He rescues us from all the troubles. By the way, folks, this is not Gayun Choi's made up words. These are actual, not direct quotes, but there's evidences that I found in the scripture. I'm just lining up for you to hear. In times of temptation, God provides us the way out. He perfectly understands our weaknesses and temptations. And listen to this, Hebrews 2:18. Jesus Himself suffered when He was tempted. Therefore, He is able to help those who are being tempted. If you struggle with any type of temptation, you know to whom you go. Jesus, He knows and He is able to help you. God does not allow us to have more than we can bear and provides us the way out of the temptations. And even in times of fear, God assures us with His promise that, "Do not fear, for I am with you." So next time when you are assailed with fear, fear assails you, declare to God and to yourself and to your fear especially, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you, God, are with me." Try it, folks. It always works. Emmanuel means God cares. The final Emmanuel means commitment. God is fully committed to us. The question is, are you? Are you committed to God? You know, I'm digressing a little bit. You know, whenever I do have occasional wedding, marrying a couple and so forth, I always ask them to summarize, "What's your understanding of marriage?" They say love and, you know, whatever. To me, one of the big words you look for is commitment. Really, commitment. God is fully committed to us, to His children. He remains faithful to us all the way throughout His journey, our journey to heaven. I don't know how many of you watched the movie The Lord of the Rings. Surprising. Only handful. This Christmas, watch that movie. It is worth of your time. Now, so let me try my best to summarize what the Lord of the Rings is all about. There is evil ring created to dominate the world. Okay? And there is a bunch of good guys. This ring is evil, so we need to destroy this evil ring. They only could destroy in the Mordor, right? Deep in the mountain. In the fiery place you need to just throw in and just melt it down. But from this place to Mordor, there are a lot of, you know, hazard waiting for you, especially the one who created this ring want to reclaim it from your hand. So they created the alliance. By the way, am I spoiling your fun? I shouldn't. Anyway. So one of they designate the guy whose name is Frodo to be the ring bearer, because not ordinary person could be, because you're so tempted with this ring to use it to dominate the world, okay? It corrupts you. Power corrupts you. Anyway, so Frodo was carrying it, accompanied by a bunch of good people, but one by one they were, you know, destroyed or separated from the ring bearer. And Frodo, out of his goodwill and his goodness, he doesn't want hurt anymore. So the first, it has three movies. In the end of the first movie, he says, "I'm going all by myself to Mordor. I don't want to hurt anybody anymore, so I'm going all by myself." And his good friend, his name is Samwise Gamgee, he's a gardener actually, he remains faithful to Frodo throughout all the way to the end of the journey, Mordor. And this is what Frodo says, you know, I'm not taking anybody, I just am going by myself. And Sam said that, no, I am still going with you because, he says, I promise Gandalf. Gandalf is like wizard, one of the, you know, fellowship of the ring. Now, what I see here is this. Frodo wants to go all by himself, but Sam says, no, I am with you all the way through. I almost see the image of Christ in Sam. And Frodo, I could compare to me or the believer. Frodo wants to go all by himself, and Sam says, no, I am with you all the way to the end. Faithfully encourages Frodo to complete the mission. Now, same way, God promises that He'll be with us. Listen, Matthew 28:20 says, He will be with us to the end of this age. End of this age. He never leaves us alone. And even when our best friends and family members forsake us, our God never abandons us. He's forever faithful. Once again, you know, as we go through this holiday seasons, Thanksgiving followed by Christmas, in my life of ministry of 26 years, I've always seen, even in my friends, a couple of people totally estranged with their family members. And holiday seasons, the loneliest time. A friend of mine just didn't speak to the only son he has for years. I tried to reconcile them, didn't work. Every Thanksgiving, every Christmas, he has nobody. You know, so I just ask you, you know, if you know someone, please start praying for the reconciliation in the family. We don't know how it'll work, but it must start with your prayer. Anyway, God's promise is that He never abandons us, even though our family members do. Now, during our heaven-bound journey, God is fully committed to our sanctification in our body and soul and spirit. You'd be very naive of us if you say, I'm going into heaven just as I am. That's when you're called by God. And God has a different plan. From here to heaven, He works on you, whether you realize or not. If you think that yesterday me is better than today me, something's not right. Today me, it should be better than yesterday me. Are you with me? That is called sanctification. God refines and shapes us into Christ's image. He is the potter and we are the clay. I've never took the pottery class, but it always looks interesting. Maybe it's on my bucket list later on. Who knows? You know, they put two hands in the clay and paddling on the food and just, you know, with the water and just shaping the whatever shape they want to create. If they don't like it, and just, you know, scratch them again and do it all over again. Do you know what the Bible calls? God is the potter. We are the clay. He will not stop until we are shaped into the form and image of Christ as God designed. And that's the process called sanctification. He knows what's best for us and He sees the entire picture, and therefore, competing with me, He silently and patiently works on us, taking all the time He needs. And let me tell you, He will finish the good work that He has started in us. How does He do it? He teaches us and guides us into the truth. He disciplines us. And He also empowers us to do His will. And He wants us to learn from Him and of Him. He wants us to be like Him in all the things we do and say. He wants to demonstrate, He wants us to demonstrate His character in us. He will never give up on us until He sees us, as I said, complete image of Christ. Emmanuel means commitment. As for closing, I will say this. Once I asked my wife, Sonu, what she thought of the meaning of God's being with us. That's one of the pastor's Sunday afternoon routine. I asked my wife, what do you think of my sermon? Most of the time she says, it was great. If she didn't say anything, I know. Anyway, we're talking about the meaning of God's being with us, Emmanuel. Without hesitation, she said this. It is same as she and I are together in our relationship. She didn't elaborate further, but I understood what she meant. Being with someone means covenant, isn't it? It means commitment. It means faithfulness. It means protection. It means companionship. It means walking together hand in hand. God does the same things with us, only much more than we could possibly imagine or understand. So folks, this Christmas season, let us remember the beautiful and wonderful and eternal promise of God, Jesus Emmanuel. They are not the same name. Say, give two different names given to one person, Christ. Jesus died for our sins. And because of what He has done, and because in Him, God became our God, and we became His people. God and we are together now in a covenantal relationship. Whenever we say that God is with us, you and I are acknowledging the contract, spiritual contract, that you and I signed with God in the name of Jesus. The contract is, it's all about this. God says, I'll be your God, and you will be my people. He says, I'll be with you, and I'll accompany you, and I'll care for you, and I'll be faithful to you. And God says, will you be faithful to me? That's all the covenant is all about. And this covenant lasts for eternity, not only here on earth, but also in heaven. Jesus Emmanuel is with us throughout this Advent and also for eternity. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, it's good to know who You truly are. We are bombarded with so many secular messages and information out there. We seldom take time to ponder who our Heavenly Father truly is. It is my job as pastor and preacher to inform Your people with the true message of the Bible, which is God's love letter to us. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You accompany us. You care for us. And You even protects us, and You're fully committed You are faithful for eternity to us and with us. With that assurance, Lord, help us to live one day at a time, knowing that God is with us, Emmanuel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.